This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And at 9:04, it's time now for Sports Saturday, brought to you by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. By Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. By Security National Bank, with locations to serve you in Witt, Colleen, Irving, and Fillmore. By Midwest Basement Technologies, call 618-372-7077. By the Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro. And by Kurt's 24-hour heavy and light-duty towing and machine shop in Litchfield. Here are the guys. It's Tim Mize, Terry Tote, and Uncle Ralph.
All right, top 10. Thank you very much. Welcome to WSMI Sports Saturday, the first Saturday in June. We will get to Tobin a little bit later in the program as he was named to the top 10 list of, what is it, Tobin? Under 40?
Mm-hmm.
How old are you? I thought you were 42. Did you lie about, this?
I feel like I'm 42.
Can we get a birth certificate check, please?
Is it
33.
Oh, age. I thought age. Maybe inches. No. Of course, I'm 6'2", so I, or, you know, 6'4".
So Toba's got a nice write-up.
Everybody's short, according to, in my world.
That's can true. You, different perspective way up
that's
there.
That's right. Oxygen's clouds. A little thinner. Oxygen's thinner, absolutely. You know, although I will say I am 6'4", but I play like I'm 5'9".
Yeah.
So, you know, I just want to make that perfectly clear.
Yeah.
So we will get into Tobin a little bit later in the program, but big news last night, of course, fellas. They say when you go to a ball game, you might need to see something you've never seen before. I saw the greatest one-hitter I've ever seen thrown last night. That was a great one-hitter by Johan Santana.
You know, I've
fantastic one-hitter.
I've seen no-hitters before that probably shouldn't have been, and I've seen games that were one-hitters that should have been no-hitters.
Yeah.
So it just kind of goes around in circles, you know.
And boy, the
umpire really blew that one.
Yeah,
but, you know.
Call.
It's
hey, the umpires have blew several this year. Yeah.
Well,
bad call.
Well,
real bad.
And you know the human element thing. But when they're talking, this is a great opportunity for the replay thing. When you're talking about replay, and what do they use it for in Major League Baseball? Home runs, fair and foul, right?
Yep.
Those plays are not any more important than other plays made in the field, or not made in the field, or you know, fair and foul down the line, obviously. And that's what I can't understand about replay, is that they think that these particular calls in the outfield are much more important than anything else that happens, and it's, you know, it's not.
And forget the fact that the call wound up leading to a no-hitter that shouldn't have been. It was a 2-0 game at the time.
Yes.
And that
would have
been a leadoff double to start an inning.
So the tying run would have been at the plate.
Right, exactly. And who knows how the game would have transpired there, but it winds up being a no-hitter when it should have been a one-hitter. And that's umpiring 101, guys. I mean, it's not like the ball was hit on a line over his head and he had to duck, turn around, and reestablish looking towards the outfield. That is a ball over the bag landing maybe 5 to 10 feet in front of him with chalk flying. The chalk is flying. There's the ball mark right there. And the only thing you need to know about how the umpire knew he missed it is that Okendo and Matheny didn't get tossed.
Right.
Okendo was nose-to-nose with him
Actually bumped him once.
Actually bumped him. Matheny's out there just giving the guy the riot act, and they didn't get tossed because the umpire knew that he missed it. And when an umpire knows he missed the call, he doesn't throw the manager out unless the manager says, throw me out.
And you look at the other side of it, for Santana, that takes a little bit of the glow off of your no-hitter when, you know, there's calls like that that are blown. And as Terry said, he's seen no-hitters that should have been one or two hitters, and he's seen one or two hitters that probably should have been no-hitters. So I guess part of the game.
After it was over, the first thing that came to my mind was, this was the reverse Armando Galarraga. Jim Joyce blew that call, and what would have been the 27th out of a perfect game, called the guy safe, turns out to be the greatest perfect game that never was. And then here last night, the exact opposite, another blown call, but this time it works in favor of the pitcher. This umpire has to be reprimanded. Has to be.
But he won't
And
be.
You know that he was praying for a hit. Oh, he wanted the Cardinals to get a hit so bad in that eighth inning that he, please, get a hit. Somebody get a hit. The ball mark was there the whole game. As soon as the game was over, they went right to the ball mark in the third baseline.
Yeah.
Like I said, greatest one-hitter I've ever seen. And Santana was awesome last night.
He was awesome.
I mean, he was dominant. Awesome. Threw 134 pitches. The catch that their left fielder made on that ball hit by Yachty was
incredible.
Great play. And there's always one of those plays in a no-hitter. And Santana did a great job. But He was a one-hitter.
You know, and when you take into account the 134 pitches from Santana, he's coming back from an injury. Now, how will that affect his next start?
Right. Yeah.
I mean, there's more at stake than just the game last night.
Or even his next several starts.
Right. Right.
So you want to be a big league manager.
Yeah.
That is such a tough decision for Terry Collins to have to make. Because I will be surprised now if Santana does not get hurt by the end of this month. Coming off major shoulder surgery, 134 pitches. The history of this is not good. You see it all the time.
You know, it was a cool night in New York, which makes it easier for the pitchers to work, but still you have the cool-down effect in between innings.
They had some long innings.
Yeah, they had some long innings. So, you know.
But that's a no-win situation for the Mets manager, Terry Collins. If you take him out, you're going to get booed.
Yes.
And then if the reliever comes in and gives up a hit, then who knows, you might get fired.
Yeah.
I mean,
in New York, it's possible.
But
it's possible.
You leave him in, and he gets a no-hitter, and he gets hurt in his next start, then you're going to hear it again. So he was in an absolute unwinnable situation last night.
Santana, though, he had, Tommy John, right, last year? He was out for all of last year, wasn't he?
It was a shoulder issue
shoulder
that he was out with.
Yeah, shoulder.
I think he's had Tommy John before, but
way back when.
But it was a shoulder problem, which is much more serious to pitchers today than the elbow.
What amazes me about the whole thing is, and you look at all the pitchers that have pitched in the Mets organization, David Cone, you had Doc Gooden, all of them. I thought David Cone had a no-hitter.
He did. For the Yankees. All those pitchers, all their great pitchers, threw no-hitters elsewhere.
Yeah. Tom Seavers threw one, but he was with Cincinnati.
Right.
Yeah.
Nolan Ryan threw seven of them, none of them with the Mets.
All after he left. Well, you know, the Mets got rid of Nolan Ryan because they said he'd never make it.
Yeah, I mean, he's a bum.
Yeah.
They hit that one on the head, didn't they?
Oh, yeah, they got that in dead center.
I think he's overrated. He's not going to be anything.
All he went on to do is pitch seven no-hitters, and now is the owner of a pretty good ball club.
Probably the best team in Major League Baseball that's come along in years.
Yeah.
I mean, they're loaded both pitching and hitting, and you just don't see a team that's dominant like that very often.
No, you
After
don't.
Last night, bit of trivia, there's only one team left that has never had a no-hitter.
Padres.
Yeah.
Yeah, 50 years, over 8,000 games, and the Mets finally have their quote-unquote no-hitter, which is technically a one-hitter. And people say, "Oh, it's a no-hitter." Well, yeah, it'll go down in the record books as a no-hitter. But everyone who saw the game knows that Carlos Beltran got a hit in the fourth inning that should have been a double. Chalk flu.
That's the thing that got me because you could see the chalk fly on the TV.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And then the umpire is looking. The ball mark is right there. This is where the egos of the umpires are out of control. You know you've missed the call. The ball mark, if it was tennis, it would be reviewed, ball in play, award Beltran second base.
Yeah.
It's not complicated. But no, these umpires with their egos, they can't admit that they're wrong. This guy should be suspended.
Well, I don't know about that. But again, I make the point for replay. If you're going to use replay, how could this not be a perfect opportunity to get it right?
If you can use it for fair or foul on a home run, why can't you use it for fair or foul on any base hit?
Yeah.
The
trapping the ball or catching the ball on a sinking line drive in the outfield. Well, I mean, these plays are just as important as any home run or any long ball into the outfield.
And it isn't kind of funny, guys, that the Mets, after all these years, get the no-hitter against the Cardinals. Probably fitting that they got it against the Cardinals, of course, the rivals from the 80s. But think about all the symmetry to that game last night. Think about the 2006 NLCS Game 7.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Wainwright got the last out.
Yep.
He started last night. Beltran made the last out. He was making his first appearance in New York since they traded him last year. He had the hit that should have been the one to break up the no-hitter. And then Yadier Molina, of course, who hit the home run in 06, gets robbed on a great defensive play by their left fielder. So just how it all came full circle last night for the New York Mets. They almost exercised like all their demons, you know, like going into the game. It was all about Beltran's return, and they wind up getting their first no-hitter ever, which technically was not a no-hitter, but nonetheless, they don't
Well, technically, it is a no-hitter. Untechnically,
technically, it is a no-hitter.
We know it's not a no-hitter, but technically, in the books, it's a no-hitter. So.
It's just like Barry Bonds sitting at the top of the home run list. You can believe what you want to believe. It's like this Roger.
But when you ask people around here who's the home run champion,
Hammer and Hank.
Hank Aaron.
That's right. And then, you know, Roger Clemens is going to get found not guilty in his perjury trial. But anyone with an independent thinking mind knows that He obviously did what he says he didn't do. I mean, it's obvious.
Ryan Braun.
I mean, you know, it is what it is. His appeal got overturned, or, you know, he got the appeal to overturn the conviction, but everyone knows what he did, you know. In the court of public opinion, everyone knows that Johan Santana gave up one hit last year. They know it because he did. Give up a hit.
To take a line from the old TV show WKRP, the lawyer talking to Mr. Carlson, Arthur, the law and right and wrong have nothing in common.
Yeah.
We're talking about the law.
And you know,
so, you know, there you go.
There's certain things, you know, and away from baseball, but there's certain things, you know, just aren't going to happen. Myself, maybe you guys didn't, myself, but I said from day one, why are they having this trial for John Edwards? They're not going to find him guilty of anything.
Right.
You know.
Yep.
You just know those things aren't going
to
happen.
The thing with Roger Clemens is it's like Capone. They kept trying to, you know, until they got him on income tax invasion.
Yeah.
But they don't have the smoking gun. They don't. This stuff was stored in a beer can.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
If that's not reasonable doubt, according to the judicial system.
Right.
Gosh, this McNamee's got to be an idiot.
And it's humorous. Humorous because, like Capone, all of the – how many people did he give a pair of concrete shoes for and told him, you walk across the lake, you're free? You know, this type thing. And so they get him on income tax.
Right, of course they did. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. So the Cardinals get no hit last night. And ironically, they were the best offensive team in the National League the first 2 months. And then you can make the case, guys, that last night they rolled out the best lineup. They've rolled out.
It was probably the most powerful lineup they've had the whole year.
And they get one hit.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. No hits.
Ah, sorry.
It was no hits. Yeah, they
got
no
hits. Win money games.
Missed it by that much.
Your pitcher give up 8 runs.
No, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break. More Sports Saturday after this.
Hi, I'm Jim Miller, Vice President, Senior Law Officer at Security National Bank. Farmers, it's time to get your spring finances in order, and we're ready to help you at Security National Bank, a small-town bank where we know your name with an established reputation in the area since 1932. We can help with all your ag lending needs. Stop by and see us today or log on to securitynb.com to find out more. Security National Bank, your hometown bank you can trust since 1932, with 4 locations to serve you in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Kurt's 24-hour heavy and light-duty towing and machine shop now has a heavy-duty tow truck and can tow your semis. They have a crew cab rollback to transport your car and your family, and they can pick up your motorcycle. There is nothing they can't tow. When you need a tow, remember Kurt's 24-hour towing and machine shop in Litchfield. 324-2400. That's 324-2400.
And at 9:17, let's take a look at the weather forecast brought to you by Paris Frozen Foods in Hillsboro. It's the home of the Big Porky. Partly cloudy skies. There's a chance for some rain today. Expect a high of around 70. Mostly clear for tonight. We'll have lows in the mid-50s. And then for tomorrow, becoming cloudy, it will be a little warmer. Expect a high Sunday of around 80 degrees. Right now at 9:17, we have a temperature reading of 61 degrees. And the weather forecast is brought to you by Paris Frozen Foods in Hillsboro. It's the home of the Big Porky. Sports Saturday continues right after this.
Is your home moving without you? You don't need a realtor. You need the foundation repair experts at Midwest Basement Technologies. Serving Central Illinois for over 30 years, correcting bowed or cracked walls, settlement problems, or wet and leaky basements and crawl spaces. If you live in Central or Southern Illinois, they service you. Call 1-800-848-9805 for your local service tech or visit them on the web at MidwestBasementTech.com. For money saving coupons, that's MidwestBasementTech.com. Remember, foundation problems won't go away. Protect your investment.
And at 9:18, Sports Saturday continues. Once again, here's Tim Mize, Terry Tote, and Uncle Ralph.
All right, top 10, thank you very much. Back here on Sports Saturday, Cardinals no hit last night, and we'll have them coming up today from New York City, Terry, at 11:15. No, that's Monday. What time are you on?
2:15
today. 2:15 today. There's a Fox game of the week, I guess.
Yeah, the Fox game of the week, and Lance Lynn on the hill for the Cardinals.
That's good
going
for
win number 9.
Been their best pitcher.
Yes, he.
All year long.
You know why?
One to now.
Throws inside
and throws the fastball. But guys, last night, Cardinals get no hit when you can make the case that was the best offensive lineup they ran out all year. Carlos Beltran plays center for the first time. But when I saw that he was playing center field, I was confused. And this is the beauty of baseball. Everyone has their own opinion. But he's got the bulky knees. You know, he's been laboring with that the last couple of weeks. Why do you put him in center field for the first time in the most spacious outfield in the league, maybe other than San Francisco?
Sentiment on behalf of the manager.
Play him in right field.
I know, but this was his place. I mean,
true.
He owned center field at New York when he played for the Mets, mm-hmm. and I think they're probably played into it, whether it was right or wrong.
But when that was happening, Bernie Madoff was still on top of the world.
Well, yeah.
That's how long ago it was.
You know, and you stick him in right field, guy's got an arm.
He's got a cannon.
And he can cover.
He's got a cannon.
Yeah.
And I guess I was just perplexed by it because the offense has been great.
Mm-hmm.
The reason they stunk in May is because of the starting pitching, not because of the offense.
All right, yeah.
And then you completely, I think, have a lesser defensive club out there opposed to having a guy like a Shane Robinson who can't hit a lick, but he might have caught that ball in the fourth inning. Why not give Matt Adams a day off? Your long, young left-handed bat, give him a day off against a nasty two-time Cy Young Award winner in Johan Santana. Give him the day off. You put Craig at first in his first game back after dealing with a hamstring injury.
Mm-hmm.
I was just very surprised that he chose last night to be the first time you put Beltran in center. And maybe you're right. Maybe it was a sentimental thing.
Yeah, I think
he's
that's
back
probably
in New York for the first time. That probably was it, but I think it cost him.
Yeah, but City Field isn't as spacious as what it once was.
But
they
it's
moved
still spacious.
Fences,
still
they
spacious,
moved the fences
though.
In quite a
they
bit, didn't
them
they?
In, but it's
408
still
feet to center.
Right.
That's
for the center fielder especially, that's a lot of ground to cover, especially when your left fielder can't really catch a ball and your right fielder's coming off of a hamstring injury. You know, that's a lot of extra pressure on the center fielder. I was just surprised that was the first time that he decided to do it. And I think it kind of messed up the mojo of the offense, personally. They got no hit, for crying out loud. They fled the league in hitting, runs scored, home runs, average, all of it.
Well,
and now you put out this great power lineup, and no one gets a hit.
Well, the old axiom, good pitching always stops good hitting.
Right.
You had an above average performance from the pitcher last
night,
who's been a terrific pitcher.
Oh, he's an awesome pitcher.
His whole career.
And it was a great performance.
Yeah, it was. It really
was.
And again, right, I think last night, good pitching stopped good hitting.
It did.
Yeah,
it just
really
did.
And you're, as I said earlier, you can second-guess some of the manager's moves or whatever, and second-guess what obviously looked to be a hit. But the bottom line is, when your pitching staff lets the other team score 8 runs, you're not going to win many times.
And that's been a big problem for them for the last really 4 or 5 weeks is they cannot limit the damage. They are falling behind all the time.
Well, they're having to play catch-up. Case in point, the last game in Atlanta.
Yeah. The last two games, they
tied the game up, and then.
Well, even when pitchers
we've seen
have
that at least 4 times,
even
recently.
When the pitchers have a good 4 or 5 or 6 innings and get ahead in the count, they just can't hold on to it.
Yeah, can't put guys away.
Yeah,
but 5-6 innings today in baseball today, that pitcher 90% of them they start looking to the dugout. I'm done. You know.
Well, but,
stick
but
a fork
you know
in me.
You have to stick. You go to your bullpen for 4 innings a ball game, you're going to burn your bullpen out big time,
and it got
real
out.
Quick, and
I mean,
it got burned out.
They made a lot
out.
Of changes to their bullpen now,
so they finally got a second left-hander,
which they needed.
So, but again, 1 month does not a season make.
No, they'll be
and,
all right.
And you know, it is such a long season, and really Memorial Day is kind of one of the benchmarks you look at. Obviously, the All-Star break, 4th of July All-Star break, that area is another benchmark. More often than not, whoever's leading the pack at 4th of July usually ends up winning the division. So.
And you hope that this is rock bottom for them.
It'll boil down between the Cardinals and the Reds. That's probably the two teams that's going to, you know, Milwaukee and Pittsburgh.
Done.
Pittsburgh, some of that. They'll come in and they'll knock your socks off during a series, but they're not going to be consistent enough to do anything.
And as bad as the Cardinals have played, you hope now that maybe they can turn the page. Because honestly, it's weird. Everyone was complaining in early May, they're talking too much about last year, too much last year this, last year that. And then that night they played the Braves, and when they retired LaRusso's number, that's when everyone was saying, oh, we can put 2011 behind us. Well, you know what they did? They put the magic of 2011 behind them, too, because they've stunk since that night. They got swept that night. They've been swept in L.A. since. Got no hit last night. They've been awful. They should take get La Russa's number out of there.
Well,
get it out. It's bad luck.
What has happened, you've had pitchers and catchers evening things up after spring training.
That's right.
And it just takes a while. It takes about 6 to 8 weeks to shake out. Now you're seeing ball clubs for what they are. And the Cardinals probably are going to rebound all right and you know, continue to be a good hitting ball club. It's whether or not the pitching can come around. And, you know, pitching and injuries.
And they've been rabid.
Oh, my gosh.
We said a year ago they stunk up until the middle of August.
And they did.
And they did.
And they did.
Well, until the trade deadline in late July. Absolutely. Until the trades were made, they were hopelessly out of it.
Yeah. They just had, I mean, they've had key guys get an injury. Oh, you know, it's
gosh.
Not the 25th guy on the roster.
Yeah.
They're getting middle of the order bats.
Yeah.
Hurt.
You look at baseball today, though, guys, and we talk about the Cardinals and what they're doing right now. But you look at baseball today and you scratch out Texas and the Los Angeles Dodgers, everybody else is pretty run-of-the-mill.
And have you noticed how many big-name players have been on the DL this year?
Yeah.
Seems like an inordinate number of you know, top-line players have been on the DL, the disabled list this year.
As we get further removed from the steroid era,
this
is gonna. This is how it's supposed to be.
Yeah,
you know, the guys, that's why the Cal Ripken streak was so amazing. You know, when guys don't have assistance, they get little nicks that all of a sudden they can't play through.
And today, with the salary structure and the money these guys are making, they're not going to go out there and play hurt.
Right. Yeah, a little soreness, and you shut it down.
Look at Matt Kemp. He gets off the DL, runs round third, heads to home, tweaks his hamstring again, back now, back on
he's
the DL.
He's
going to
be out for a while,
yeah.
too. Look at a guy from the Cardinals like John Jay.
Yeah.
And these guys have got everything available to them that's known to mankind as far as keeping that body in top shape. They have more hamstrings, more muscle pulls.
Well, but the thing of it is, the more specialized the skill, the more you can easily get derailed with a what would be considered a slide injury, perhaps in other sports. And baseball is the most highly yes. skilled sport there is when it comes to hand-eye coordination, split-second decisions, using your body in a natural way a lot of times, quick starts, quick stops, that sort of thing. The sheer number of games when you play from March all the way through up to the first weekend of October.
Yeah.
It's just a wear and tear on the body.
I think there's too much weightlifting in baseball. You know, you get these little oblique strains, little hamstring pulls. I don't think weightlifting it's not football. You know, I mean, baseball has played a long time without players lifting weights. And the guy that I always think of is Brian Jordan. Brian Jordan was a phenomenal athlete.
Yeah.
Played in the NFL, played of course, for the Cardinals and for some other teams in the major leagues. But he always had a muscle pull here, a muscle strain there. And you looked at him, the dude had like 7% body fat. I mean, he was just ripped, just muscles all over the place. But those little, sudden movements, those slight movements in baseball, he was always pulling something. He didn't so much get hurt in football.
Mm-hmm.
It was baseball. And I just think that in baseball, you don't need – muscle bound is not that important. In baseball, you don't need a second baseman that looks like Dan Uggla. It's
true.
You know, you don't. It's not necessary.
It's
true. Nice to have, but it's not necessary.
Like the guy said, I went to my doctor. He said, "You're 50 pounds overweight." The football player had his physical and said, "You need to gain 50 pounds."
That's right.
And that's about how it is.
That's about how it is. So I don't know. I guess it'll be interesting to watch the baseball player over the next 5 to 10 years.
And like you said, coming out of that steroid era, we're now seeing the human body return to quote unquote normal now for the long haul. And there was always nicks and bruises and problems, and we're back to that again. So
you're going to get back to the point where when a guy is 35, he's done.
He's
opposed to just entering his second prime.
Yeah.
Found that second prime at about 36.
Boy, that era really.
And as we get further removed from it,
when you look back and you're going,
like, oh my goodness.
How could they not?
Right.
Well, they knew it was happening. They chose not to.
Absolutely. I mean, it brought baseball back.
Mm-hmm.
Saved the game.
It did.
Like,
it
you
did.
Think about back to that summer in 98, everyone was so enthralled with that home run chase. And it was awesome.
Oh, it was.
It was awesome. But you look back at it now, and like you see the pictures of McGuire and Sosa, you're like, yeah, That's pretty obvious.
And here these two gentlemen unfortunately got hooked up in what they did. But you turn that around, and what heroes they were at that time for bringing a game back.
Well, and not so much the home run hitters, but the little second baseman that had hit two home runs a year was now hitting 25 and 30.
Opposite field bombs.
And you're going, what?
Right, exactly. Power hitters, big guys, are always going to hit it. But yes. When the second baseman, like you said, Terry, start hitting 25, 30.
Yeah.
You know, when shortstop becomes a power position
instead
of a defensive position, which that's kind of starting to turn a little bit. You know, those are the signs. But, yeah, when Brett Boone.
Yes.
When Brett Boone's hitting 35 bombs and putting them out to right center,
you got to be kidding me,
something
guys.
Has gone wrong in the universe.
I was watching ESPN the other day, and I guess Barry Bonds made an appearance in San Francisco at a Giants event, you know. And for the first time ever, he actually was talking to reporters and being actually nice to the reporters. And
well, yeah, he's got to try to get into the Hall of Fame
now. He brought that up. They asked how he looked, and he's like, he looks like Pittsburgh Barry instead of San Fran.
Isn't that weird?
I'm like,
isn't that weird?
Like,
a lot of people's head and feet grow when they're in their mid-30s, though, and that's a common thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's common. Happens all the time.
I thought it was the waistline that grew.
That's right. Yeah. No, you're mistaken.
Oh, I'm mistaken.
You're misinformed there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, your feet get bigger. That's your head swells up.
That's right. I
like
forgot.
Jack Buck said, they asked him if they thought today's baseball was livelier than the years ago, and he said, oh, I don't know. I walked out on the field, and there was a ball laying there, and he said, I tried four times to pick it up before it stopped rolling.
Yeah, the ball is definitely wound tighter. There's no doubt about that.
Well, and... You know, and how baseball has changed the ballparks, generally a little more conducive to hitting because offense fills the stadiums a little bit easier than 1-0 ball game. I personally love 1-0 baseball games. I like those games that are an hour and a half or 2 hours long and 1-0 and you scratch out a run, but it's offense that packs the stands. So.
Someone, I believe I heard you say this morning, someone in – softball, I believe it was girls softball, won 1-0.
Both the state semifinals yesterday in 1A were 1-0 wins.
Yeah.
And, you know, those games just...
To me, that's...
They zip by.
Oh, yeah.
Especially softball. I mean, you could have literally three pitches, a one-minute half inning. Literally.
Yeah.
It's incredible how quickly it goes. So.
Well, guys, last night, I think there was under 30,000 people there at the game. Friday night, New York City... 27,000 people there.
Yeah.
And he throws a no-hitter. 10 years from now, there will have been 75,000.
Sure.
There. I was there. Oh, yeah.
Here's my ticket stub.
It was great. Absolutely. I swear that ticket stub's not even torn. Well, they electronically scanned it. I was there. Yeah.
Well,
27,000 in New York City on a Friday night.
How
That's
can
disgusting.
You, yeah. How can you not have 40-plus thousand?
How's that happen?
In New York City, the biggest metropolitan area... On this side of the planet.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know.
I guess that just proves what they think of the Mets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's the Mets.
Mm.
Like our neighbor to the north, you know, 27,000. The Cubs playing a ballpark that holds 36,000. If they have 27,000, they got a small crowd.
And who? I never thought I would see the day where Wrigley Field wasn't sold out on a regular basis.
But they are.
But they've reached that point.
Yeah. Well.
Amazing.
That's kind of. Weird.
2003. Yeah. Hartman ruined it all. Which technically means Alex Gonzalez, the shortstop, ruined it all. And who was it? Who was on the mound? Mark Pryor, he ruined it all.
Yeah.
You know, but it's all Bartman's fault. But since that time, they've shed the lovable loser blanket. They are no longer interested in that. They want to win every single year. And oh my goodness, did they turn quickly. And good for them. That was always my biggest gripe with Cubs fans is they were just lemmings. You know, they just got let off the same cliff year after year. Wait till next year. Wait till next year. Finally, they've woken up and said, no, we want to win now. Good for them.
Yeah.
Because they were an embarrassment whenever. Ah, we stink. Let's go drink some beer and watch the grass grow.
Yeah, let's go across the street and
throw back a few.
But
go to the Billy Goat Tavern.
they've been. Flux some young players, some good-looking young players.
And you know, and they're taking a good, hard look, a season-long look at these players, Ralph.
Yeah.
And there's probably two or three that, you know, are going to fit regular position players readily into a new regime, and that's what Epstein is going to do. He's going to come in, and come trade deadline, there's going to be wheeling and dealing, and the Cubs are going to be extremely busy over the offseason, I think, and you know they're going to,
and maybe even before the trading deadline, you never know. But
you
know they've got a few ball players. If you've ever watched him play. This shortstop, this Castro, that guy's a great ball player. Young, too.
Well, he's a good hitter, but defensively he can be a liability.
I think he's going to wind up being a third baseman.
You think
so? In a few years. I bet he winds up being a third baseman. They're going to get a young stud shortstop to come in there, and he's going to be their third baseman.
I was thinking maybe going the other way, maybe the second base, but then you may be right. He's got the arm and stuff.
Well, you know, he's got the body for third base.
He fits in real well. This Campana kid.
I like watching. He's so fast. I don't know if I've ever seen a guy.
Yeah, he is quick, and boy does this guy hustle. I love watching him play. He's the kid that runs out on the field to start the inning at the end of the inning. He's running out, running back in.
Pretty solid behind the plate. He's not an all-star, but he's pretty solid.
I don't know. I think Giovanni Soto might be on his last leg as a Cub.
I would tend to agree. I think his best years are behind him. The league's figured him out. Yeah. He's never adjusted.
Yeah.
You know, he had that good rookie year.
And that's it.
But then the league figured him out, and he's never been able to adjust back to the league, and he's really struggled. But, of course, they got Babe LaHare over at first base. That kills the Cardinals. My goodness gracious.
Yeah.
You know, if you just watch the Cubs play the Cardinals, you'd think, the Cubs are a pretty good ball club. They've played the Cardinals. They've played good baseball, and they've played the Cardinals.
True.
Everyone else, they stink. But when they play the Cardinals, it's a ball game.
Going back years ago, and we used to go to the ball games in Chicago, I tell you what, one of my favorite all-time Cubs was Billy Williams. I thought that guy was a great ball player.
He was.
Yeah.
He was a great ball player.
I just loved to watch that guy play. As you said, he hustled on and off the field. He'd be from 280 to 310 in that – And solid defensively. He was just a heck of a ball player and a heck of a nice guy. Him and Ernie Banks, those two guys were class acts.
And to think that they never got to win.
No, neither one of them.
No.
It's going to happen at some point.
Yeah.
And for people, I think they just thought, oh, Theo's here now. We're going to be good immediately. People forget Boston was good whenever he took over. Boston was on the cusp of winning anyway. He just got them over the hump. They were good. Boston was always in the playoffs. They just always had problems winning in the playoffs.
Right.
The Cubs' problem is they can't do good in the regular season to get to the playoffs. It's going to take time.
It is. You've got a five-year plan that it may last 8 years. Right. But eventually the Cubs are going to get there. They've got the guy in position, and he's got the power to do it.
Right, exactly.
They've said, okay, you come on in, you build us a ball club. You repeat your success that you had at Boston. But it's going to take time. It's going to take draft choices. It's going to take trades. It's going to be restocking your farm system. I mean, they may have to retool the whole thing from top to bottom managers, scouts, and the whole ball of wax.
And they made their plan clearly evident when in the offseason they didn't go after Fielder.
Right.
And they didn't go after Pujols. A lot of people thought that they would spend that big money, get that first baseman locked down. They didn't, which just proves they've got the big picture in mind. They're still under the grasp of that Soriano contract. Oh, they didn't want another big contract for a player closing in on 30.
And Soriano's probably having one of the better years this year that he's had for him. But
that's not saying much, though.
Can you imagine the party once the Cubs win it? When that happens, the party at Chicago.
Mrs. O'Leary's cow will have nothing on the fire they get started that night. That city will burn.
For Fox TV, they could only hope it would be the Cubs and the Yankees in the World Series. Would break probably every...
Think about in 2003 how close they were to having the Cubs and Red Sox in the World Series with neither one of them having won. Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
What
mm-hmm.
a series that would have been. Of course, they both wound up losing in the LCS in historic fashion.
Yeah.
But that would have been a heck of a World Series. And, I don't remember what it was at the time, like 85 years for Boston. And it wasn't quite it was like 90-something for the Cubs back then or whatever. But, that would have been must-see baseball right there.
But you can see the Cubs, this is their low ebb right here. This is their bottoming out, and they're going to start progressing upward now. You know, it's just going to take some time. You're just going to have to suffer for the rest of the year.
Well, they're used to that. Yeah. They're good at that.
And who should have to run into the Red Sox during that period in the World Series but the Cardinals?
Of course. And that, you know, that was kind of fitting. I mean, because they beat the Red Sox in, what, 67
yep.
for the World Series. So it was kind of fitting. Just kind of was fitting last night that the Cardinals being the historic type of franchise that they are, it just kind of seems like that's the baseball God saying, yep. I mean, how many times have the Yankees been involved in situations
sure.
like that? You know, it sure. happens.
Sure.
It happens.
But how many times have you seen a team catch fire? The Cardinals last year was that team that caught fire at the end. That carried them all the way to the championship. Boston back in 2003, that was their team.
Well, 2004.
Or 2004, excuse me. And then now, I mean, you look at the hockey, LA Kings. Yeah. They got fought, and now they're...
Yeah, they're hot. Hopefully the Cardinals can get hot again. If this isn't the low point, I don't want to see the low point. Hopefully you look back 2 months from now and say, boy, since the Cardinals got no hit,
yeah. mm-hmm.
they've gone off on a roll here. But they have really played bad baseball for going on a month now.
Right.
And that's a bit concerning.
You know, they've not only has their pitching not been good, their defense has lacked
at
times.
Well, they've made some mistakes on the field. You know.
Too many walks. No.
Oh,
yeah.
gosh.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. yeah. Too many walks, and then somebody puts it in the seats. And
yeah, walks and home runs allowed. That's a good formula to lose a lot of ball games.
That is the perfect formula to lose ball games. And, you know, it's so difficult to execute. Number one, it's tough to hit. But I think sometimes it's equally as tough to pitch.
Yes.
You know, when you don't have the pinpoint control. And most pitchers don't have it anymore. They just, you know, the greatest era of pitching was that decade of the 60s, and we just don't see that anymore.
That's right. So, guys, you think it's good after coming off of a no-hit performance, wink, wink, which is technically a one-hitter, but now you face a knuckleballer today, more likely than not.
Mm-hmm.
Is that good or bad? You just got no hit. Maybe it's a good thing that you're facing the knuckleball today of all days. You know, if you've been rolling for 2 months like they had been, I don't think you want to see a knuckleballer. But after you get no hit, you're like, why not?
Well, today will be a big game for the Cardinals because they need to come back and do something today.
Yeah, and they'll probably score, what, 15 runs, pound out about 27 hits. That seems to be how it works. Like, boy, we could have just used, you know, a couple of those hits last night would have been all right.
Well,
I bet they win big today. I don't know why, but I bet they win close to 8-0 today. Like the Mets did last
night. I don't know.
I don't know why. It just seems to me, you know, there's no evidence to back it up. You know, it's all just your own perceptions, and those obviously can get
sure.
skewed and just, you know.
Whacked out. Yeah, yeah.
But it just seems that when a team gets no hit and they've been rolling, that somebody pays shortly thereafter.
Well, fortunately, you've got Lance Lynn on the mound today. 8-1 record going for ninth win of the season. He throws, you know, able to spot his fastball, not afraid to pitch inside. The team generally scores a lot of runs right. when he pitches, so that
for no good reason.
Yeah,
but they just do. They just do.
I mean,
and he's he's one of only two pitchers in the big leagues that's got 8 wins.
Yeah, and he's so fun to watch pitch. Even last year, coming out of the bullpen. I mean, he just pumps strikes.
Yeah, yeah.
He just comes
right at
you.
He throws strikes, and that's the secret.
Oh,
and he keeps the ball. You don't see him throw many pitches above the waist.
No. And if he does, he's got enough on his fastball and enough movement to where he gets a lot of swings and misses.
Yeah.
He's a good young arm. I mean, you can see the potential. And, of course, the big concern, guys, is Jaime Garcia.
Yeah.
Back in St. Louis with a sore elbow. That's never good. And with the Cardinals' history of handling medical news, whenever they say, oh, it's no big deal, he's going to miss a start.
It's always a big deal.
It's always a big deal. He'll be on the DL in a few days. That's just the way it works. I don't know why, but the Cardinals, no big deal. His leg is gone. He'll be fine. Couple days, he'll rub some dirt on it, he'll be back. This is a scheduled day off.
It's
the dreaded scheduled day off. Yeah.
The pitching staff, it was real rich at the start of the season. Now it's got some holes in it. You know, Wainwright is still having some problems.
And he's going to.
Yeah, sure he is.
You know, until the second half of the season, until he can kind of get himself worked into a groove.
Look how long it took Carpenter to come back.
Still haven't seen him. But I didn't expect to see him all year.
Right, yeah.
But the question is, will we see Shelby Miller in 2012?
Yeah.
You almost have to at this point, right?
Yeah.
If Garcia goes on the DL, don't you got to bring him up?
I think you have to bring him up.
I mean, the Cardinals historically coddle young guys. Mm-hmm. They don't like to bring him up too early. Maybe that was more of a La Russa Duncan thing, I don't know. But I want to see Shelby Miller. If Garcia's on the deck, if he's down, get him up here. What's he going to do?
Yeah.
Give up six runs in the first inning like Westbrook did? What's the worst that could happen? He could turn into Jake Westbrook? Seriously. You know, get him up here.
Or the guy last night walked in a couple runs.
Oh, that wasn't good. That's not the exact Major League debut he had in mind. Walked the first two batters. Think of what is going through that young man's mind. You come in, New York City, the opposing pitcher's got a no-hitter going. You come in with guys on base.
Just threw a strike.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. If they hit a grand slam, so what? You threw a strike.
That's why pitching's so hard, because he knows he's got to throw a strike.
Oh, yeah.
He knows it.
Yeah.
The batter knows it.
Yeah.
All 27,000 in the stadium knew it.
And the 17-inch wide home plate becomes about 2 inches wide.
Yeah.
Looks awfully
two,
tight.
Two and a quarter.
Mm-hmm. That's
right. Yeah.
And the baseball's 3 inches in diameter. So you're going, that's tough.
We did a break here on Sports Saturday. We come back, we're going to have some state tournament results for you. And top 10. Top 10 in the house.
You know what? I may not hit the button to put
you'll
you guys...
hit the button.
All right.
You'll hit the button. I perused the article here, Tub, and there's some interesting tidbits in here.
Uh-oh.
I find it interesting.
Some commentes.
I'm confused about a few things.
Confused.
I'm confused about a few items here.
All right.
We'll get to that coming up after this.
Farming doesn't follow an 8-to-5 schedule. A slow week is 60 to 80 hours. My land, livestock, and family rely on me. That's why I bought farm insurance from Auto Owners Insurance, because every policy comes with a local agent, a real person who lives right in my community, who I can rely on to keep my farm covered no matter what.
See the Bruce Webb Insurance Agency in Farmersville or Raymond.
June is National Dairy Month, a perfect time to enjoy the benefits of milk and milk products. Check out the selection of farmer-owned Prairie Farms dairy products in your grocer's dairy case. High-quality milk, butter, half and half, cottage cheese, and yogurt. Milk and other dairy products provide about 75% of needed calcium, along with protein, vitamins, and other minerals. And if you're dieting, many of Prairie Farms products are also available in low-fat and non-fat varieties. Taste the homemade goodness of farmer-owned Prairie Farms.
And at 9:46, let's take a look at the weather forecast brought to you by CarQuest in Carlinville and Jacksonville. You'll find it at CarQuest. Partly cloudy skies today. There's a slight chance for some showers today. Expect a high in the low 70s. Mostly clear for tonight. We'll have lows in the mid-50s. And then for tomorrow, becoming cloudy, it will be a little warmer. Expect a high Sunday of around 80 degrees. Right now at 9:46, we have a temperature reading of 63 degrees. And the weather forecast is brought to you by CarQuest in Carlinville and Jacksonville. You'll find it at CarQuest. Sports Saturday continues right after this.
If you're a farmer or an agribusiness, it's good to bank with people you know and trust. Hi, I'm Jim Miller, Vice President, Senior Loan Officer at Security National Bank. I specialize in ag lending, and Security National Bank's ag lending staff is experienced and ready to serve all your farming needs. We offer competitive rates. Stop by and see us today or log on to securitynb.com to find out more. Security National Bank, your hometown bank you can trust since 1932, with four locations to serve you in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Since 1899, four generations of Huffs have been dedicated to serving families in Central Illinois. Today, they continue that tradition of compassion, personal attention, and professional service that started long ago. The Huff family has always tried to place the needs of their families first, to provide them the information to make wise decisions at such a delicate time in their life. Today, Dan and David Huff continue this family tradition. Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro, you do have a choice.
And at 9:47, Sports Saturday continues. Once again, here's Tim Mize, Terry Tote, and Uncle Ralph.
All right, Tobinat, thank you very much. Welcome back to WSMI Sports Saturday. And Terry, this time next week, the IHSA season will be on its last day.
That's right.
Of course, today is 1A and 2A championship day, and a lot of action up in Peoria.
In the semis yesterday at O'Brien Field in the 1A and 2A baseball tournaments. In the semis yesterday in 1A, St. Anthony out of Effingham beat Marquette 6-2, and Tuscola beat Lena Winslow 10-2. Underway right now, Marquette and Lena Winslow in the third place game. At about 11 this morning, St. Anthony will take on Tuscola. In the 2A tournament, in the semis yesterday, Rock Island Alamann beat Hersher 2-1, and Normal U High beat Westglenn 8-3. And coming up this afternoon at 3, Hersher meets Westland for third, and then about 5, Wark Island Alleman against Normal U-High for the 2A Boys Baseball Championship. Girls softball both won 1-0 finals yesterday in the semis. Payson Seymour beat Tuscola 1-0. The Payson Seymour pitcher, by the way, will be pitching for the University of Illinois Springfield next year. And Goreville beat Milledgeville 1-0. Tuscola and Milledgeville underway right now. It just got underway. And Payson Seymour and Goreville for the title at high noon. And 2A yesterday, Nashville and Williamsville. Two traditional powerhouses in softball, both won. Nashville beat St. Joe Ogden 5-2. Williamsville, an 8-5 winner over Sherrard. They'll meet at 5 o'clock for the championship. And in 2A soccer, Glenwood High School beat Normal U 3-0 yesterday in the semis, and they will take on Wheaton St. Francis for the 2A girls title.
I wonder if Tuscola, you think they packed their scaffolding up and took it up to the state tournament?
Well, I don't know. Probably don't need it today.
That may be a bit of an inside joke.
That's an inside joke.
Allow me to elaborate.
Please elaborate.
I don't remember what the year was. Maybe you do, Terry.
It was when Mont Olive was good. Because always it was Mont Olive
games. The final four there, yeah. 2 or 3 years in a row, and they played Tuscola back-to-back years. But the first year, they went up to Tuscola. So Carl DeBar and I followed the Wildcats up there. They had a great team that year. Great team. We wound up losing, unfortunately. But we get there. Tuscola's got a double-decker press box.
Yeah.
You can see the top level is completely empty. They won't let us in. Well, you can't go in there. That's not for visiting media. There's kids up there playing around. Very good use of it.
Probably they coaches'
stick us
kids.
In scaffolding on the track. It's probably about 40 degrees, a 20-mile-an-hour cold wind coming right up our back, and they stick us on scaffolding on the track. Like, you got to be kidding me. This is a Final Four football game, and this is what you're doing? And I thought I had it bad. I turn around. They got the Mount Olive film crew on top of the scoreboard, probably 15 feet higher than us. What are these clowns doing? Terrible. Absolutely terrible. It was disgraceful what happened there that day. But then Mount Olive got them back. The next year, Tuscola came into town. It was a beautiful day. They set up their own scaffolding and sent the Tuscola radio folks over there. Got them back.
Yeah. Gotcha.
But I'll never go to Tuscola again for that reason. That's ridiculous. That's dangerous. I don't get paid enough to do that.
No. That was a bad situation. Yeah. And that's why we appreciate the area we operate in.
We were so lucky.
I mean, we are so extremely fortunate with the schools we have and the ADs we have, the coaches we have, just the sports boosters and everything all tied in together. We are extremely fortunate.
And some pretty nice press boxes.
Well, it just you know, they take care of us. And people.
Yeah.
And they take care of the opposing teams,
sure.
too.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, you don't see the schools we go to setting anybody up on scaffolding unless it's payback.
Yeah.
Which was glorious. I gave them a standing ovation. Like, that's great. That's good stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I think a couple years later, Mont Olive was back up there, and I told you, I'm not going there.
Yeah,
you sent Randy.
I think Randy went.
And they did the same thing, again, the scaffold.
Yeah.
And Randy came back and said, I'm never going there again. So let's hope that none of our local teams ever go to Tuscola for
a playoff. Well, I remember going to Tuscola. Litchfield girls were sent over. This is back when they had the sectional complexes. And they seated, 32 teams, and, you know, they really got away from the neighborhood regionals. And Litchfield played over there one night in a girls' regional tournament. So I remember driving over there one night. Remember the sectional softball tournament was over there when it was just 1 and 2 classes. And went over there 2 or 3 times and got to the edge of town, and it rained. And they ended up playing, I think, a doubleheader on the final Saturday. They played a semi followed by the championship just to get the darn thing played. So. And I think that was the year Hillsboro won, and they may have gone to the Super Sectional that year. So, could have been. They all meld together.
I'm starting to realize that myself.
Oh, see?
I'm starting to get
34 years for me and you, and how many for you?
Not even 10.
Yeah.
It's like, what year was it? I don't remember what the year that was. Have no idea. But that was, it's always good memories to think about that day in Tuscola and scaffolding and, ugh.
And how easy we have it here.
Oh, my goodness, yes, you know. I never, and since that day, I've never taken the press box for granted.
Yeah, man.
Never.
Yeah.
I'd rather sit in the bleachers. At least humor me.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
But when you
specifically set up scaffolding, because we're not allowed in the press box.
Well, that I don't also in that area, the state Monticello, years ago, I remember going with Carl. Carl and I went for the Hillsboro Monticello game, and they wouldn't let us in the press box. plenty of room. We could climb up on top of the press box, but you had to walk on the handrail to get up on top of the press box. And I said, forget this. We're going over with the fans. So we saw sat right in the middle of the Hilltopper fans, and they upset Monticello that night. Mm-hmm. So it was a fun time.
Yeah, so
cold. It was cold, brutally cold.
You never know what you're going to see or what you're going to get.
Yeah.
Like today, for instance, when I walked in, saw in the Journal News that Tobin Ott has been named into the top 10 list of those under 40 in Montgomery County. Tobin, has the check cleared yet? Who did you pay off to get on this list?
I did not.
How did this happen?
How did this
happen? Who's in charge here?
Probably Plunkett. Mike Plunkett?
Mike Plunkett. Is it clear?
It's probably cash.
It's cash. You go cash or check? What'd you charge it? What'd you do? Traveler's check?
Nothing.
Money order?
Credit card.
Credit card.
That came about when
did
I was
on. Did you sign an agreement, a non-disclosure agreement
that
with Plunkett?
That came about when I was on vacation. When I was down in Disney, I got a phone call at the Magic Kingdom from Plunkett saying, hey, we're going to do this 10 under 40 thing.
Hold on, I'm on Space Mountain. I don't got good service. I'll call you back.
That would have been fun. I'm on Small World. No.
You said it, not me, Tobin. You said it, not me. Now, Tobin, you know I love you. You're a great guy. You got a good sense of humor for the most part. But you might not like what I'm about to tell you.
Oh,
I'm reading this article here, and I'm confused. Odd stay at the radio station typically begins around 6:45 a.m.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. I was here the other day at 6 a.m. filling in for Terry. You strolled in at 7:25, my friend. 7:25, not 6:45. Explain.
No explain necessary.
No explaining. I think there is some explain. I'm confused. Did you lie to the Journal News? That's what I want to know.
Stretch the truth a little bit. Embellish a little bit.
A little white lie. 6:45.
Oh, boy.
I think not.
Because if you were in here at 6:45, by gosh, you'd have to be bringing rolls or donuts.
That's true.
So I read that. I'm like, wait a minute. I was just here on Thursday at 6 a.m. and Tobin was nowhere to be found. Nowhere to be found in the building.
Was there a meeting the previous night, Tobin?
Yes. Yes, there was.
And you forgot to set your alarm. Is that what you're claiming?
I probably overslept a little bit. That happens sometimes.
Only on Monday through Friday?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And only days that end in Y.
Only days that end in Y. That's exactly right.
Yes. Fire off. Come on. Keep it coming. Let's go. We got more minutes.
Uncle Ralph?
I'm enjoying listening to you.
So what was this all about, Tobin?
This, the Journal News every once in a while does this little insert during the summertime called 10 Under 40, where they select 10 individuals in Montgomery County under the age of 40 that has made an impact.
I thought you were 56.
Some days I feel like it.
I thought you were the same age as me.
No. That has made an impact. That has made an impact in the county in some way. And I got the phone call during my vacation, and I said, okay, fine, and that's how it all came about.
There you go.
You know.
Well, and I know you've done an awful lot of work with the Hillsboro Moose, and you know you've got some younger blood in there, and you guys are working hard to keep the Moose up and functioning, and it's up and functioning, and a big part of the Hillsboro community.
You got a quote in here that it's not in many careers you can say you've called the governor four times on
which
his
I
cell
have.
Phone.
Which
I know you have. Is that why he raised my taxes?
No.
Because he talked to you? Is this what happened? He raised my taxes, and he's talking to you on a personal level? I don't like it. I don't like it one bit.
No.
Call him back and tell him to lower my taxes back to where they were.
I'm on it.
Get on it, Tobin.
I'll do that Monday.
Make it happen. There we go.
I will make that happen.
Getting things done.
I will send him a text after the show.
Absolutely. That's what I like to hear.
So what happens if he doesn't get elected?
Well, then, you know.
You got to change numbers?
I don't know. You may not be entitled. I think the number I have is his personal cell, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, wow. He's on a personal.
They're
on a first name level. It's Patty and Tobe.
Call him PQ.
Like, what up, PQ? What up, PQ?
PQ.
The P's and the Q's.
No, T.O., what's up with you? Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
You've been the newsman for 10 years.
I've been at the station for 12 years.
You're the news director? I didn't know this. You're the actual director of the news? What about Rick Davis?
See, Rick Davis.
What happened to Rick Davis?
News editor.
Okay, then they got the title. I mean,
So now you're blaming the Journal News for the typo.
No, I see what's going on here, Tobin.
You're so big time now. You're throwing everybody else under the bus.
That's the official title. If I'm the news director for Montgomery County,
we're just the DJs,
Rick's news director for Macoupin County.
I am but a lowly DJ who spins the needles. The famed news director, Tobinot, news director. How's Rick feel about that?
Well, I think he's news director of Macoupin County.
Does that make you Rick's boss?
No.
You giving Rick marching orders now?
No.
So you did a do you get a traffic helicopter with this or something?
That's in next year's budget.
We're out of time today on Sports Saturday. Tobin's
and he's saying thank you.
Yeah,
we're out of time.
Oh, goodness gracious, yes. That was the longest 5 minutes of Tobin's life right there. So Cardinals got no hit last night, which was technically a one-hitter. We will have them on the radio today at 2:15. On AM 1540, Cards and
Mets. Anyone in Bedford call gets a base hit in the first at bat.
I bet she does.
Yeah.
I bet she does. Lots of hits coming today for the Cardinals. For Terry and Uncle Ralph and Top 10 Tobinot, I'm Tim Mize. Sports Saturday is done. This is WSMI FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carlinville, and Greenville, the station you can count on. Tobinot will be looking for you at 6:45, bright and early, Monday morning. Have a great weekend, everybody.